If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. My subject tonight, faith is a many splendid thing. I got to thinking about it. I said I could have named this sermon The Wonderful Life of Faith. Hallelujah. Because faith is truly wonderful. Now, in my text, Paul is speaking to Christians in this passage. He is letting them know that there's something special and something unique about the child of God. The child of God has something that others do not possess, and it is the God-like faith. Look at Romans 12 and 3. Paul said, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you." Now, the key word in this verse is among you, because I preached this wrong for years until the Holy Ghost showed me. Everybody does not have the God-like faith. Paul is talking to Christians. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, God has dealt to every person among us the measure of faith. Sinners do not have the God-like faith. They have natural faith. They have faith for what they can see, smell, taste, hear, controlled by the five senses. They do not have the God-like faith. They rely on their own human intellect, their own abilities, and their five senses to contact everything in the world that they live in. But a born-again Christian, they can achieve things that others who are not saved could never achieve. The Christian has the God-like faith that it's a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God, and through faith you can achieve things. You can accomplish goals that people who have greater human abilities than you could never achieve. I found that out in the business world after I got saved. God would give me ideas, and those ideas were from God, and I knew it. It would frighten me sometimes. Hallelujah. I would see things, and I said, whoa, and I would know, and I was sure. That's why it's so important that you understand faith and that you release your faith and that you exercise your faith. Your faith, my faith, can move mountains. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us that. Look at Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22 and following. "And Jesus answered, saying unto them, Have faith in God." The literal translation of that is have the God-like faith. If you have the God-like faith, Jesus said, look at verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass." Not immediately, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Jesus cursed the fig tree. And it didn't die immediately, but they came back the next day, and guess what? It was dead from the roots up. Why? It was a miracle. It had been a miracle if it hadn't died, because Jesus spoke to it and cursed it. So when we take the word of God and put it in our mouth and speak in faith with the God-like faith, we can move mountains. Your faith is a gift from God. My faith is a gift from God. We're together with people of like precious faith. So we can feed our faith the word of God. Now, in the text I read, Paul is not talking to sinners. He is talking to the body of Christ. He's talking to the church. And he said, God has given you a sixth sense, the God-like faith. Look at Romans 12:3 again. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you," he's talking to Christians, "not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." My subject tonight, faith is a many splendid thing. Father, we love you and praise you for this great arena called faith, that all things are possible to him that believes. All things are possible with our God. And you have given us that God-like faith that we can operate in this dimension that the world knows nothing about, because you have placed your spirit within us. You've given us your word, and your word carries power, Lord. And every knee must bow to the name of Jesus and confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. He's the word. And Lord, we're going to speak your word tonight. Thank you for the privilege to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. As Christians, we want to walk by faith because that's how we please God. So what is faith? Well, most of us know Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you can't see it with the natural eye, when what you're praying for has not materialized, then your faith is your substance and your faith is your evidence, and it is based on what God has said in his exceeding great and precious promises. Faith can change things. Faith can change the facts. I don't care what the facts are. God gave me that one. He said, faith never denies the facts. Faith always demands a change. I was lying on my back looking straight up at the ceiling, and God told me, your faith can change the facts. Hallelujah. And the doctor's report may not be a good report, but the facts may say you're going to die. But faith can change the facts. And your faith can bring the necessary miracle and the necessary healing. We've seen that so many times in this church. Faith can change your future. Think about that. You were on your way and I was on my way to a devil's cell. But God stepped in. We heard the gospel. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we were saved. Saving faith, healing faith, faith is a gift of the Spirit. They are all gifts from our Heavenly Father. He loves us. If you ever understand God's love for you, no matter what you're going through, you will understand he cares about everything that touches your life. When I got saved, I told my daddy was a man of faith. I said, Daddy, I didn't even like myself after coming back from combat, but I found out something. God loves me. And when God saved me, I said, God, I take the limits off of you. If you could do that after 17 years of nightmares, you can do anything. God, I take the limits off of you. And from that moment to this, I have decided that if the word of God says it, I'm going to believe God. It's just that simple. So faith can change your future. Saving faith, healing faith, all types of faith, they are gifts from God. We did not manufacture the faith that we have. God gives it to us. And he gives it to us as a gift. You can add to it by hearing the word of God. But faith can change anything because faith is a many splendid thing. Like I said, I could have entitled this sermon, The Wonderful Life of Faith. By faith, we have the power of God to enter into the wonderful treasures that are waiting for us in heaven. We can have those things. Some of them, and we can have them now because they're all in our bank account. Jesus paid for them at Calvary. And what we have to do is lay hold of them by faith. I want to talk to you about three positions of faith. First of all, that's saving faith. Look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. God gave us the faith to get saved by. We heard the gospel. We were alienated from God. We were sinners on our way to hell. But the Holy Ghost put faith in our heart. When we heard about the precious blood, he applied the blood. We believed in our heart, confessed with our mouth, came out of darkness into the marvelous light. And praise God, we've been going ever since. And where we headed to heaven. Walls of jasper, gates of pearl, streets of pure, transparent gold. Eyes not seen, ears not heard. It's not entered the hearts of man, the things God has prepared for those that love him. Do you love him? Hallelujah. And let's use our faith. Go on, praise him for this thing called faith. So first of all, we have saving faith. Secondly, that's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Becky Watson is sitting here, and she is responsible for my revelation on this somewhat. Look at Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here it is, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I took all day long trying to teach her Galatians 2:20. She was my secretary at the Bridgestone Firestone plant. At the end of the day, she said, Jerry, I can say it. She said, all of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which and I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. They went home. I was in management. I had to stay. And when I walked back in my office by myself, the Holy Ghost said, whose faith do you have? I said, well, I have the faith that was given to me, and I've added to it. He said, whose faith do you? He asked me three times. Finally, he asked me this question. The Holy Ghost said, what have you been saying all day? See, I was trying to get this part of Galatians 2:20 in her. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. At the end of the day, she had it, all of it, Galatians 2:20. She told me recently, I said, don't ask me to come up and say it now. But the Holy Ghost asked me, what have you been saying all day? I said, I've been saying I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He said, whose faith do you have? I went through the same thing again. Finally, the Lord says, whose faith do you have? I said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When I said that, all of a sudden a light bulb went on in my brain, and I realized you have Jesus' faith. And this is a wonderful faith, because when your faith comes to an end, then Jesus places his faith within you. I've gotten many things from God by that. I've gotten miracles for other people. But I've told my wife, Teresa, I said, I have it. I have it, Teresa. I see it. I know and I'm sure I have this thing. What had happened? The faith of the Lord Jesus had come into my heart. Hallelujah. When you have his faith, the thing is finished. And he'll just work it out through you. I promise you that. So there are dimensions in God where we use our faith, and sometimes our faith just goes as far as it will go, and then we've got to switch over and obtain his faith. He does it. I don't know how he does it, except for the fact he lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The early church, they said that the works that you see, Peter said, why do you think by our own power and holiness we made this man to walk? He said, his name, through faith in his name, said, you crucified Jesus. Said, but he has done these works among you. Well, how did he do the works among them? He did it through those early apostles, through the early church. How does he do the works among us now? He does it through people that will believe in his name, that will step out in faith and use that name and lay hands on people. Somebody said, have you ever seen anybody raised from the dead? One man said, no. He said, have you ever prayed for anybody to God raise them from the dead? He said, no. He said, then you won't ever see anybody raised from the dead. If you don't lay your hands on people and pray, anoint them with oil, and do what the Bible says, you won't see anybody heal, not by your prayers. But Jesus will heal through his church, the body. So, first of all, we have saving faith. Second, we have the faith of the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, there is the gift of the nine manifestation gifts. That's the gift called faith. It's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The gift of faith is one of the power gifts. The power gifts, everybody loves the power gifts. They're gifts of healing. They're gifts of the working of miracles. And they are the gift of faith. I want to give you a Bible example of the gift of faith. 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, he was in the wilderness. He had nothing to eat. And the Lord caused the ravens, you know the story, to bring meat and bread to Elijah. Elijah did nothing. He was just by the river waiting, and God would have it flown in by the birds. He got his meals with no labor at all on his part. God says work. God had plans for this man. He's fixing to send him to the widow of Zarephath, and he's going to call down fire from heaven, and he's going to make open the heavens up to rain. God had plans for this man. Does God have plans for you? Use your faith. Do what you can do. Believe God for the impossible and watch God work. Faith is a many splendid thing. Elijah did nothing. He said, Lord, I thank you for supplying my need. And God sent the birds to feed him every day. This was the gift of faith, where God did it all for Elijah. George Mueller, he had a orphanage, and no one supported him by, will you give me this much and pledge this much and pledge this much? Yet the people, they ate, They were clothed. He had this gift called faith operating, and God did it all. They sat down to eat one night, and there was no bread on the table. He said, everybody take your seat. He prayed, said, Father, I thank you for the food we're about to eat. Prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. A knock came at the door. He opened the door. It was the baker. He said, Mr. Mueller said, I cook more bread than I could sell today. Could you use it? That was their supper. God supplied his need. Has God ever shown up in your life like that? Sure he has. You just not known what he has done. So faith is a many splendid thing. And when we come to the ends of ourselves, that's when we open up the treasure house of God. The power of God is beyond our conception. It is. But when you have it, the things in the natural world are overcome by the spirit world. They're beyond our ability, beyond our, the Bible says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's beyond our conception. It's God working in us, through us, and for us, and helping us. Hallelujah. And you will never get anywhere in this arena called faith unless you are constantly in pursuit of all the power of God that you could ever get. If there's one thing I'm satisfied with, it's the fact I've never been satisfied. Now, my wife, Teresa, we were on vacation. She has to live with me. And she hears this stuff all day long. She said, Jerry, could you take a rest from it? So I told her, I said, Teresa, I'll talk to anybody about 5 minutes on football, baseball, shooting pistols, anything you want to talk about. I'll give you about 5 minutes, and then I'm going to get on my favorite subject. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to talk. I met somebody down there. He said, where you been so long? I said, I met a Baptist preacher. I said, we talked about Jesus and talked about Jesus. I said, he talked about Jesus just as long as I wanted to talk about Jesus. And so thank God for this wonderful arena. We contact the natural world, as I said earlier, with our five senses. We see, we taste, we touch, we hear, we smell. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. The Bible says, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, that's with your natural sight, okay? But at the things which are not seen. We're looking with the optic nerve of faith. For the things which are seen are temporal. What you're going through is temporal. I promise you that car will get fixed. I promise you those bills will be paid. I promise you God is a great healer. He will heal you if you'll use your faith. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, as far as the optic nerve or the sense of sight is concerned, I'm going to prove this scripturally. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's the only evidence, things not seen. But as far as our spiritual eyes are concerned, faith is the evidence of things seen. Okay? Faith is a sixth sense. Now look at Hebrews 11 and 1. This will help clarify what I just said. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So with the optic nerve, the eye looks at what is seen. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about the natural man, and he's talking about the spiritual man in the scripture. But with the eye of faith, faith appropriates the promise of God. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now faith is always now. It's the substance of things hoped for. You're in the area of hope. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is now. Hope is always future tense. And once you learn that, it will help you use your faith. Faith is based on the reality of the Word of God and nothing else. It doesn't matter what grandmother got, grandfather got, what they did get or did not get. It has nothing to do with what you'll get. You can learn some lessons from them, but faith is always based on the reality of the Word of God. Faith sees God. Faith sees Calvary. Faith sees Calvary where disease and sin's debt were canceled. It sees the promises of God. Faith sees God's faithfulness, which are more real than any circumstance or any situation that we could ever face. The promises of God are more real than anything you could ever imagine. I had a thought there. Peter was on the mountain. He said, "We saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured. I saw his miracles. I saw him open blinded eyes. I saw the lame get up and walk. I saw him break a few loaves and fishes and feed the multitude. I was there. I was an eyewitness. I saw it all." But then he tells us, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Don't believe what I'm telling you because I was there. Holy men of old wrote, believe the word of God." That's what he's saying. Believe the scriptures. We have a more sure word of prophecy than any of us that walked every day with the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. I was there when I saw him crucified. I was there when I saw him come through the wall and speak to us. I was there when I saw him ascend back into heaven. I saw it all. But don't base your faith on what I said. Base your faith on the sure word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So faith sees salvation. Faith sees sanctification. Faith sees deliverance. Faith sees the fullness of the Spirit. Faith sees divine healing as already belonging to us. We all fight this fight. I want to show you something that I hope it will help you. It certainly helped me. Faith says the blessing is mine simply because God has promised it. Faith refuses to see anything but what God has said. God has already given us, the Bible says, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if you're going to move into this arena and really use your faith, you're just going to have to believe the word of God no matter what circumstances may say. God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, whereby giving us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become the partakers of the divine nature. You have God's nature in you. You have the faith of God in you. You have the God-like faith. You're not like other people. You're different. You are a lively stone hewed out of the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus himself. Hallelujah. And so he's the one that watches over this word to perform it. It's his word, and God will keep his promises to us. Now, God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So here's where the battle starts. This is where the battle begins. I have to fight it. You have to fight it. All of us have to fight it. And anyone who receives anything from God by faith, they have to fight this battle I'm fixing to talk about. When we are appropriating the promises of God, God warns us not to look at our circumstances or our feelings. I want to take you to Peter. Peter is in the boat. Jesus comes walking on the water. He says, "Lord, if it's really you, then bid me to come on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter steps out of the boat and starts walking on the water. The waves were just as high when Peter walked on the water as the waves were when Peter sank. While he did not look at the waves, they could not hinder him. But the moment he looked at those waves and doubted, down he went. The winds were just as strong when Peter walked on the water as they were when he sank. When Peter didn't pay any attention to the waves and to the wind, they did not hinder him. There's a lesson there for all of us. If we are occupied with looking and feeling things instead of the word of God, then we will lose what God has offered. Look at Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, here's what I want you to catch. Satan is busy trying to take from us what we are trying to, what we have appropriated from God by faith. Let me say that again. Satan is busy trying to take from us what we take from God by faith. Jesus gave Peter the power to walk on the water, but Satan took it from him. Let me say that again. Jesus gave Peter the power to walk on the water, but Satan took it from him by getting him to fix his attention on the wind and the waves. But Peter recovered in his faith and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus lifted him up. Have you ever wondered how Peter, I've preached this before, how he got back to the boat? This is my definition, my sermon, so I preach it the way I like it anyway. Hallelujah. How did Peter and Jesus get back to the boat? Well, first of all, Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and that's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to get a fixed gaze on Jesus, the Word, and what God has said and what God has promised. And let nothing move us from that position. And Satan will do everything he can to take you out of that position. I know. We all have to fight this battle. But Jesus lifts Peter up. He's a big man. And he says, look in my eyes. I'm adding a little bit to my story now. Look in my eyes, Peter. Keep your eyes on me. And I'm going to show you how to use your faith. Come here, Brother Ray. You're going to be Peter. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on me, Brother Peter. I'm going to show you how to use that faith. We're going to walk on the water. You ready?
I'm ready.
Give me your hand. We're walking back to that boat. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. I tell you, it's a beautiful day.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I love your faith, Peter. Your faith pleases me. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Your faith pleases me, brother. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. See, I believe that Jesus showed him how to use his faith, and together they walked back to that boat. And what I love about it more than anything is that everybody that doubted that Peter could walk on the water, they had to watch him after he used his faith to walk back with Jesus, strolling. Hallelujah. Got his eyes on Jesus. What I'm saying is keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let the storms of life, don't let the winds, don't let the waves. I know they're real, but faith is more real than the real. Faith, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are the eternal promises of God, and they're waiting for us to appropriate them by faith. How did Peter really walk on that water? Well, Jesus said, come. What does that mean? He's the Word, and he gave him one word. All you need is one word from God. He said, Peter, come. Peter takes one foot, puts it on the sea. He puts another foot on the O. He puts another foot on the M. He puts a foot on the E. He's walking on the Word of God. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the Word. The moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. So the Bible says, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So if you have a need, find what the Word of God says for it. And just keep on looking and reading and saying, God, I want you to know something I believe. If it's my last breath, God, I believe. And my wife can tell you I've been to places like this. But I can't explain. I had that kidney stone, and the Lord brought this to me recently. For 3 days, I had that stone in my body. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you remember the men at Capernaum? I said, yes, Lord. He said, I looked up and saw their faith, the faith of those four men. When I told that man on the stretcher, your sins are forgiven, rise, take up your bed and walk, that man was on his own faith. And when the Lord spoke that to me, I got out of that bed, been lying there for 3 days, going back and forth, trying to get healed, going to having all kind of people praying for me. Brother Bennett Johnson, Brother Elam's daddy, I called him. He said, I said, can I come over and you pray for me? He started praying. He wasn't getting anywhere. He said, Holy Ghost, help me. Started praying in tongues. I walked out of that just the same way from a natural standpoint, but the prayer of faith was prayed. I had others pray the prayer of faith. I said, God, the prayer of faith has been prayed and I'm healed. But when I started, I got out of that bed and that thing cut me. Tears come down my face. I started walking down the hallway. I went down those steps. I walked down to where kitchen where Teresa was. I said, Teresa, I'm healed. I said, Jesus just spoke to me. I turned to walk from here to those doors and to a bathroom. I had a little funnel that had a strainer in it, urinated in that and passed that thing. It was broken down. Well, I just realized not too long ago it was not broken down until I told her I am healed, and I walked into that bathroom. And from that, this place to that place, the Lord broke it down. I passed it, praise God, and I was healed in the name of Jesus by the power of God. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. God requires action. The church sits around like a knot on the log, and you preach your heart out and sweat popping off of you and soaking wet, and they don't come down to get what God has said that's on the table. Let me tell you, when you get in an anointed service, if you got a need, come down and say, pray for me one more time. If Jesus had to pray for a man's blind eyes twice, then praise God, it's all right for me to pray more than one time. If Elijah had to pray five times to call down the water, he sent the man out seven times, one or the other. Damon had to dip seven times. He had to pray till he prayed through. That's what I'm saying. You got to pray and keep on praying. And don't take your eyes off the promise. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord, let's see what time we have. I won't finish this sermon anyway. I don't even plan to. But faith is a supernatural gift from God. And when you use your faith, it pleases God. Now, I want you to look at Hebrews 11:6 one more time. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So faith works for us, but faith is not just to benefit us. I just read it to you. Faith pleases God. Isn't that wonderful? You've heard me say it many times. Faith says it so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. Faith says it so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. Faith says it so when it's not so, so it can be so because God said it so. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you could see it, you wouldn't need faith. So I have some things that exist in the realm of faith, but they will show up as long as I keep believing God for the fulfillment of the promise. Hallelujah. Skylar Smith, I want you to be healed right now in Jesus' name. I release the God-like faith into you. I command all of that stuff from that stroke, whatever it caused, to loose your body in Jesus' name. We praise you, God, that faith is our substance. Faith pleases you. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and the amen is spoken by us to bring glory to God. We bring glory to you tonight, Father, because we believe your word, and we're determined to appropriate your promises by faith. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I love these stories in the Old Testament. God spoke to Moses, said, lift up the rod and part the sea. And that sea had to obey him. Now people say, I don't believe that really happened. Well, if you don't believe that happened, how can you believe God when you need a miracle for your body? If you don't believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the fiery furnace, how can you believe God when there's a problem in your marriage? If you don't believe those stories that God put in His Word that Jonah was in the belly of a whale, how can you believe God to get your miracle? You just have to know that God put these examples in there. They're object lessons, they're illustrations so we can use our faith. Now, this is the victory, 1 John 5 and 7. If you can find it, it's in that 1 John 5, 7. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. 1 John 5, 7. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Here it is. Even our faith. I tell you, faith is a gift from God. And God wants us to use this wonderful thing called faith. Faith is positive. Faith is sure. Faith knows. And if you're not sure, then you're not operating in faith. Because God speaks and faith hears. It's just that simple. Paul, look, let me, Paul, as you mature in your faith, look what faith will do. Paul said, for I know in whom I have believed. No, he said, I know whom I have believed. Most people misquote that. He said, I had a quest to know Jesus, and I've come to know him. It's the last letter that he writes. They're going to behead this man. He said, I know him. And listen to this. Paul says, knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him. Why, Paul? That the body of sin might be destroyed. If you're struggling with a sin, a habit, the sin's dominion and power has been broken off of you by the blood of Jesus. You just need revelation of it. Faith knows. Paul said, for we know if the earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God eternal, not made with eternal in the heavens, not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. So we know that we're going to a city that God has prepared for us. We believe that. That's why we come to feed our faith. He is coming again. The fact that you have a sickness in your body does not change the word of God that says, by his stripes you will heal. He is going to supply all your need as your Jehovah Jireh. The fact that you can't pay your bills does not change God. If you use your faith, Jehovah Jireh will show up. If your body's sick, it doesn't change the fact that he's Jehovah Jireh. So if your body is sick, it does not change the fact that he is Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15:26, he said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He said, I'm your Jehovah Rapha. He identified himself to those people as Jehovah Rapha. And then in another place, he said, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee, and the number of your days will I fulfill. So God has given us a number of days. I'm on overtime. I'm 75 years of age. He said 70, perhaps by reason of strength, 80. That's 80. He said, with long life will I satisfy you, and I'm going to show you my glory, son. Well, I don't know what long life is. I just know one thing. I'm on 5 years of overtime. And if he's ready for me, I'm ready for him. But while I'm here, praise God, I intend to appropriate everything. I am amazed at what God has done in my life. I am amazed to see what God has done in people that come to the Lord Jesus broken and fragmented. And I tried to feed them faith and I try to help them, but you got to help yourself sometime. You got to say, I'm not looking at that storm. I'm not looking at the wind. I'm not looking at the waves. I'm going to look unto Jesus Christ. I got a promise from God. I believe God. I believe God, and that settles it. Hallelujah. A lot of people can't live like that. But you can if you want to. Hallelujah. So faith hears. Romans 10:17 says, for then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Faith hears. Faith hears the word of God. Faith believes. Look at Genesis 12:4. I love this right here. Genesis 12:4. The Bible tells us about Abram. God spoke to Abram, and Abraham just obeyed. God likes action. Genesis 12:4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, Lot with him, and Abram was 75 years of old when he departed out of Haran. So faith acts. Faith hears. Faith knows. Faith acts. See, God likes action. It's movement that God wants. And when he says go, then you don't need to procrastinate. You need to say, yes, Lord, I will do that. Every door God has ever opened for me, I've stepped through it in faith. I said, God, if you open a door, I will do it. And if you're through with me in one place and you want to move me somewhere else, God, I'm your man. Hallelujah. I've just determined to use my faith. Faith is not hope. You can hope to be a millionaire and die a pauper, but you cannot have faith to be a millionaire and die a pauper. Hope folds its hands and dreams, and it sits on the seat of do little, do nothing. But faith acts, and faith says, I'll have faith for financial gain. I'll pick up a dollar here. I'll pick up another one here. I'll pick up another one and a few more here, and I'll pay my tithe on all of it, and I'll become a radical giver. And I just believe as I keep walking by faith, God's going to take care of everything, and he's going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to cause men to give unto me. I don't know why they're going to give, except I just believe God, if I practice seed time, harvest time, it will show up on my plate. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Faith heals and faith challenges the unknown. If you had all the facts, you wouldn't need faith. If you're going to be a person of faith, you will have to enter the realm of the unknown. You'll have to deal with God in the unknown. Faith is when you're willing to deal with God in an area that you're not sure of. I wasn't sure I could pastor the church. God opened the door. And I can't tell you how many times I sat on that back row over at that old church and I said, Lord, I don't know a thing about pastoring a church. I said, you called me to preach, but I never wanted to pastor. I said, I don't know a thing about pastoring. And one night the Lord spoke to me, said, don't ever say that to me again. I will show you how. Woo! Hallelujah. I don't have to know. I know him who knows. And if I put my hand in that nail-scarred hand and walk with him, when he opens up a door, he will provide whatever I need to do, whatever he's called me to do, he will provide for you, and it will amaze you the things God will do for you if you just, woo, glory to Hashemah, Kondolabaya, just use your faith. Glory to God. Let the world criticize you. Let them say what they want to say. I don't like the way he dances. I don't like the way he shouts. You know how much I care about it? About that much. I'd rather please God. He said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him on the drums. Praise him on the cymbals. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Hallelujah. In other words, just use your faith. I was up there on the Pentecostal perspective that they post, and somebody said, I don't believe faith is a weapon because it doesn't say that in the Bible. I wrote them back. I said, the principle is in there. You might try it sometimes, and you'll find out what your faith can do. They said, I don't believe praise is a weapon. I said, try it, and you'll find out what praise can do. I tell you what, you can pray and pray and pray, but if you ever get to the place that you move out of that dimension of prayer and move over to praise, and all of a sudden the faith of God, Jesus Christ, shows up inside of you, you'll know that you got it. Hallelujah. And you can praise your way to victory. Hallelujah. I tell you, the church ought to be a shouting church. There ought to be a praising church. There ought to be a dancing church. There ought to be a church that comes to God and says, I believe you are. I believe you're a reward of those that diligently seek you. And God, I've made up my mind. I'm going to diligently seek you. Hallelujah. My Lord. Faith doesn't stagger. We'll wait for those others to come in. I can preach a little longer. Look at Romans 4:20. Faith doesn't stagger. Talking about Father Abraham. God told him, I want you to go. He left not knowing where he was going. But he was a man of action and he moved out on faith. God said, you're going to have a son. Look at this. 25 years later, the son shows up. But look at it, Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He didn't stagger. I got to looking at, can you find Hebrews 11:11? I was on vacation and I was thinking about old brother Abraham. Got to thinking about Sarah. I said, you know, it takes two to tango. She's half of this miracle. And look at Hebrews 11:11. Through faith, also Sarah received strength to conceive. She had to use her faith. If she hadn't, the promise couldn't have come to pass. I mean, God put them together because God knows she will cooperate with my man. I tell you, God amazed me. My wife didn't show up because I run her down. I prayed her down. I would have run her down if that would have helped, but it was beyond my ability. I knew that God must do it or it wouldn't happen. My faith brought her to me. It did. I look back and I say, God, it amazes me. But why did he bring her? Why not somebody else? Because he gave me someone that would cooperate with me. He gave me a pastor's wife, a wife that would love the church, a wife that would care for the people. And you've heard me say it. If I didn't have my wife, I'd say, God, please let me leave. I don't want a pastor without her. Let me go evangelize. Let me do something. So Sarah was a part of the promise through faith also. Why is that word also? He wants you to think about it. Look at those little words in the Bible. Through faith also, Sarah. Why also? Because Abraham had faith. Somebody else had to have faith. They're going to have a baby. She's 90. He's 100. How are they going to have this baby? By faith. They're not going to stagger at the promises of God. Delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful that had promised. I love it when the Lord speaks to me and asks me a question like that, because I know he's getting ready to show me something. Faith defeats the enemy. The devil fears your faith. He fears the power of faith. The godlike faith will move any mountain. And when you rise up in faith, faith cannot hold you down, because faith defeats the enemy. Lastly, faith wins the victory. Faith knows no defeat. It does not stagger. It does not waver. So faith hears the right voice. Faith marches forward, going from faith to faith, from victory to victory, overcoming the world, the devil, and the flesh in Jesus' name. I want to tell you something, church. You are special. You are chosen. You have a unique gift from God. It is called the God-like faith. And he wants you to use your faith. He wants me to use my faith. He wants us to do great things. He wants us to accomplish the impossible. And when we do that, it pleases God. It pleases God because we believe. What do we believe? We believe his exceeding great and precious promises. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. I close with this. For all the promises of God in him, in Jesus Christ, are yea. They're yes. All his promises are yes. And the amen is spoken by us to bring glory unto God. Every time in the midst of the storm, when you see the storm all around you, the wind is blowing, the waves are dashing, keep your eyes on Jesus. That was a lesson God wanted to give us through Peter. I had missed that until recently. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the word on top of that water. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I told Milton, I texted him, I said, Milton, I'm so proud of you, because I have seen this man use his faith. I've seen some of his failures, but you know what? I know he has Jesus Christ in his heart, and I know that if he will keep his eyes on Jesus, and read this word and believe God that there are great things ahead for him. Let us stand.
You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else.
Hallelujah! Glory!
There is
hallelujah!
No one, like
no one like you, Lord.
You are great.
You're great. Hallelujah!
Miracles so great.
Asha, come on, day. Ramboko shatalabahaya. Glory to God. Hallelujah! We love
there
you, Lord.
Is no one
hallelujah!
Like you.
No one, Lord, I release your
you
miracle working power. Hallelujah. Touch every heart. Touch every life. Touch every mind. Touch everybody. Heal your people, oh God. It's paid for at Calvary. We believe and we thank you for it. We praise you for it. We release faith into the atmosphere, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
There is no one else.
Sister Henderson,
like
I want you to walk down here with that cane.
You
bring it on. Hold it in your hand. There you go. She said, I'm going to walk again. I'm getting rid of this cane. That's faith moving right there. That's faith. Faith pleases God. I said, faith pleases God. If you got an infirmity in your body, do what you couldn't do before. Hallelujah. Get out and walk. Say, God, I'm using my faith. I refuse to stay here. I refuse to let this thing have dominion over me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He has dominion. And the devil is a liar. The father of lies. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do, and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. And at the end of the journey, I'll just jump into the arms of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory.
There is no one here.